from SLB Radio in Pittsburgh, Youth Express, the nation's first 24/7 radio station devoted to youth writing, music, and conversation.
I don't know why some people look down on people who either give up on college or never go in the first place.
There are people that just hate you because of your race or ethnicity, but we are definitely making progress.
She's hungry for everything, the life within, trying to find her way around again. Looking and searching is what she's doing.
So I followed my brother down to the riverbank, and we donned our skates. While Lev hurried, I tarried. While Lev trudged through the slush, I caught a flake on my tongue.
My parents are from Bhutan. They migrated to Nepal, and I born there, and I moved here in the US. So it's a long journey to get here.
On today's show, original poetry and reflections from the Neighborhood Academy, and a comparison of schools and cultures in the US and other countries. But first, high school students at Nazareth College and Career Prep talk about challenges that young Black girls face in their schools and communities.
Hair unprofessional.
Posture unapproachable.
Speech unaddressable.
Success ineligible.
We are unashamed.
This is Josiah Jackson,
Tierra Yates,
Delasia Dennis, along with Destiny Williams. An article by Senhil Malanathan conducted a study with Marianne Bertrand, an economist. They mailed thousands of resumes to employers with job openings, but before sending them, they randomly used stereotypical Black and white names. The same resume was 50% more likely to result in a callback for an interview if it had a quote-unquote white name.
Hiring recruiters will hire one minority woman and consider their business diverse. Stereotypes on Black girls cause them to be inappropriately judged. The judgments are unfair and cause them to be turned away from job, school, and other opportunities.
We talked to Cassandra Brentley about her experience with stereotyping.
She explains an incident that occurred when washing her hair.
I lived on a floor with a bunch of girls that did not look like me, and I was preparing to wash my hair. So I told the girl that lived next door to me in the dorms, you know, I was about to wash my hair, and she looked at me with a straight face, and she said, "How do you wash your hair?" So I looked back at her, and I said, "The same way that you do, with shampoo and conditioner."
Some people may not know that they are stereotyping someone.
Cassandra explains how she tries not to place stereotypes on people she doesn't know.
When I think about my interactions with other people who may be truly ignorant, they just truly don't have the experiences and they don't know, to really show them that the stereotypes that they might have aren't necessarily always accurate.
Having been judged prior to introducing yourself to someone can be difficult. Cassandra explains how she has to go the extra mile to not make people feel uncomfortable.
Sometimes the strength that is a stereotype, that Black women are just going to be strong, we can never be weak or vulnerable. It is okay to be vulnerable. It is okay to not keep up this front that we are just super strong and we never have any emotion, or we can take on whatever life throws at us, because sometimes that's not the case.
She explains how studies out there about Black girls in society.
She says you shouldn't shy away from the stereotypes.
I've been very mindful to give people the benefit of the doubt and to really form my own opinions about people after meeting them, after interacting with them. I truly believe that people are inherently good. They want to do the right thing. So I always try to keep that positive space when meeting new people and interacting in new situations, to not place stereotypes on others in the way that I would hope other people do the same thing. So I have to be mindful to always smile, go above and beyond to express more of a happy demeanor, to not make others uncomfortable. And I found that to be true in both my personal and professional life. There are studies out there that show we are among the most educated. When you look at other groups of individuals, we have historically been required to take on the burden of a lot in our society, in terms of raising families, in terms of being a provider for those families.
This information is critical to the world we live in today.
When people aren't given different opportunities, the level of success and building the foundation of a company, school program, and anything else become limited.
Everyone has different skills and talents. Stereotypes are an obstacle that can limit people's ability to use them.
We encourage everyone to give anyone a chance before judging them and treat others the way they want to be treated.
As Black women and Black girls, I think it is important to understand that there are stereotypes that exist about us. However, I think it's also important to not always run away from them. If you are a person that is, like the example I used earlier, loud, you know, and you have a great voice and it carries sometimes and you get excited about things, that's not always a negative thing. So sometimes it's nice to maybe turn some of those negative stereotypes into, you know, positive pieces about your personality and to embrace them rather than always trying to shy away from them.
Now, two students at the Neighborhood Academy, one in 8th grade and the other in 12th grade, share original poetry and reflect upon the other's work.
My name is Mariah. I'm in the 8th grade and I go to the Neighborhood Academy. Who am I? I don't know who I am, but I'm not lost. I'm not a lost soul. I'm here, but not all my characteristics are. Why label yourself as something you're not? Find yourself. Be there. Don't just show up. Be you. Be present. On the journey you take, there may be storms. But even through the storms, the sun, the winds, and the hell life puts you through, be yourself. Because all of those things are good and the bad things that make you, you.
Mariah, I really like that poem because it made me really think about myself and think about who I really am. What was going through your mind when you decided to write this poem?
Every morning, our headmaster, Reverend Johnson, he speaks of how when you go somewhere, you have to leave somewhere and how you're going to change throughout the process of this journey. And that's what it made me think about of who I am right now compared to who I'm going to be by the end of this journey I'm taking.
I think that is really strong inspiration to follow from, especially with that of a strong message from Reverend Tom.
In spoken word class, we express our emotions and how we feel. And we also have guest speakers come in to help us write the poems and give us more information of how to become better writers.
This is actually my first time in spoken word. So far, it's been a great experience with working with each other on getting ideas to freely express ourselves without any judgment. I'm not strongly a fan of writing poetry itself, but I'm more focused on like writing freestyle kind of poetry. Hi, my name is Maya Smallwood. I go to Neighborhood Academy and I am a senior. This is my poem. There's this girl and she's so nice. She is beautiful. She is generous. She is smart and kind. A hardworking kind of girl. She'll go far and chase her dreams and be happy. Although that's her facade. She's naive. She's lost. She's fragile. She's scared. Then there is a mother, and the girl is found, reborn, fulfilled with integrity, and is complete, and she is fulfilled.
What inspired you to write this? Is there some type of message you wanted to send?
Probably to say that you're not alone when it comes to hiding your emotions, like what you really feel, and it's okay to like write them out maybe or get with somebody to talk about how you really feel.
I think it digs deep and makes you think, like, who are you actually inside, not just outside and who everyone labels you to be like. Who do you think and know that you are? Writing poetry, to me, it makes me feel free. Like, it makes me feel like I can accomplish anything with a pen or a pencil and a piece of paper. Because once I start writing, I don't even have to be thinking. I'm unstoppable.
Our last segment features a high school student raised in Pittsburgh and two students new to the city, one from Yemen and the other from China, in a conversation about differences and similarities in their cultures.
My name is Jiombo. I'm 10th grade, Pusher High School.
My name is Aisha and I'm an 11th grader.
My name is Janaya. I am in 10th grade and I go to Pusher High School.
Our first topic is lunch and how they're different. Mostly, like, where I came from was Oregon, and, like, the school lunches were different in so many ways. Here, you just kind of eat, like, the same weird stuff in the same line. But in Oregon, you eat, like, different ways. One day, you have, like, tacos because it's Tuesday. They just have, like, a weekend thing where they do, like, different lunches in the different weekends and the different days. I like the lunches better there than here.
Woodland Hills is my old school that I used to go to. It's a lot better at my old school because we had a lot more to pick from. In this school, they just have two lines, and it's either mainly pizza burger, peanut butter and jelly, or wrap or salads. That's what I feel like they basically feed us every day. I don't think that the menu is really going to change, not unless we get a petition saying that we want to change the school's lunches, which I highly doubt that they will do.
I'm not always eat lunch in school. I always go home to lunch because I'm not very like this American food. And when I go home, I always do by myself. It's a lot of food for Chinese food. I always eat rice or noodles.
What is Chinese food here compared to Chinese food in China?
Here's Chinese food is more sweet and more sour. It's a lot of different.
So is the Chinese food that they basically give us, it's like it is Chinese food, but it's just not real Chinese food.
Yeah, that's real Chinese food, but maybe American, maybe they don't like the real Chinese food taste, so they should change it, like them to good for sale.
Our second topic is cultures. And at my old school, Woodland Hills, we did not have any cultures, like different kinds of people. We didn't have people from different places, from China or Yemen and other places. We just had, I wouldn't say regular people, but people who lived around the area that is more familiar with it. They wouldn't have any types of clubs, like they wouldn't have no African clubs. They did have an after-school program, but at the after-school program, they taught us how to play maracas, tambourines, bongos, and like other cultural instruments, but it's just we didn't have any other cultures there. The cultures here, I actually like it that they actually have different kinds of people from different places here because they could teach you more about their country and stuff. And you could show them how their food is different from ours, like what Yongbo was talking about, like Chinese food from where he's from and Chinese food from here. I would more so like to figure out what does it really taste like or want to taste some of the food Aisha from her country makes.
I think should be a lot of different culture in Bashir High School, so we should respect the different culture. In my class, there is a girl. She said when she's young, she's Muslim. She told us when she's young, another girl told she something bad to wear the hijab, and it's a lot hurt for her heart. So I think we should respect and understand different culture.
I'm from Yemen, but I moved to Oregon like 6 years ago. I've been here for about 6 years now. Mostly my country was not that different, but where I just moved from right now, Oregon, it was nice. It had Chinese kids in school, Korean, Japanese, many like from Nepal. I had a lot of friends from different cultures. It was actually nice, but the same thing that happened to this girl, I kind of felt like abused or like someone say something bad about my hijab too when I was a kid. They were just like, why do you wear this thing? Take it off. It's hot. Like, don't you not feel the heat? And when you're wearing this, it's like the wind just goes through it and like just makes you feel better about yourself. You don't wear this just because you're Muslim. You wear it like, it's like, it covers you up from men or like things like that or eyes of other people. We don't wear it for show or for anything. We just wear it like it's a culture thing. And I wouldn't say that cultures are different or anything for in any way, but it was actually nice being in Oregon, seeing many different people from other different countries, learning languages. As I was in Oregon, I tried learning Chinese. I took Chinese classes. It was hard. The only words I could learn from it was just like ni hao and xie xie. That's the only two words. But as I kept going, I kind of got the hang of Korean. So now I know half of Korean, but I'm struggling with the alphabet. I'm going back and forward in about 4 or 5 languages. So it's kind of like struggle going between back and forward. So yeah.
I can teach you Chinese, but you should pay.
I don't pay mostly attention a lot. So if I pay more attention in class, I used to take like a lot of classes. If I paid attention more, maybe now I would have been better than you. I'm not saying that, but a lot of people mostly say it. So sometimes when I speak in Korean or a different language, people are just like, oh my God, you're just so fluent. I'm like, oh, thank you. It's just that I learned. So if I pay attention more in class, maybe I would have been better than you. No offense. No offense.
Maybe she will better than me for Chinese.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of Youth Express. Youth Express is made possible with support from the Henry L. Hillman Foundation, the Pittsburgh Penguins Foundation, and the 33 Foundation, and was produced by SLB Radio Productions. Learn more at youthexpress.org.